At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at AbilityChiro.com.
The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back for the final hour of The Usual Suspects before we turn it over to Fred A.J. Jung and the Blitz at 4 p.m. We've been getting to a lot of topics. We still have more to get to, but we've got some calls to get through. Some people that have been waiting a long time, particularly Nick, who wants to talk about the Cougs last night. Nick, what's up?
What's up, guys? How y'all doing?
Good, man. How you doing?
What's up, man?
Not much, man. So I went to the game last night. Me and my buddy got off early, went up to the game, and it seemed like it was going pretty well. I mean, obviously until the second half, but to be honest with you, I don't really even think, like, yeah, I would say there was bad playing, but the ref, one in particular ref, I guess he was the lead ref, he just kept screwing us over with calls, bad calls. I think there was one particular play where there was an interception in the end zone, and they said that it hit the ground, but it clearly didn't. The quarterback, they said the quarterback fumbled, he didn't fumble the ball. Man, there were just a lot of bad calls. It got to the point to where the crowd was screaming "FU ref," like the whole stadium. And like towards the end, like the last like minute of the game, everybody, well, not me, because you know I'm respectful.
Because yeah, but, you're a gentleman.
Everybody was throwing all their trash and beer at the refs and at the Memphis Tigers. It was just crazy. I'd never been to a game like that before, to where, you know, people were throwing their beer at the opposing team and at the refs and everything. So, I mean, I guess that was our way of getting back at the Yankees, but at the wrong state and the wrong team.
Well, not only that, it's just not a good look to be. And I heard that at the end, was it you, Joel, that said that the TV cuts to the crowd and they're giving the finger to the TV? Yeah. And yeah. I mean, throwing trash and stuff like that, that's just not a good look, man. I mean, Houston has never been known for being those kinds of fans, whether it's professional or college. And you just can't do that. You just can't.
Yeah, you know, as much as you want to, like Barry said, it's just a really bad look. And it's going to. It's going to have residual effects long term that you don't need, and people are going to talk badly about you. It's already bad enough the game went the way it went.
Look, U of H doesn't want that reputation, certainly. It's not going to help with recruiting. It's not going to, I mean, it's a bad look for a university, for the student body, for everybody. It's just, I don't know. There's no excuse you could give me, whether it's missed calls or anything else, that wouldn't condone it. That's for sure.
No, totally agree. All right, Scott wants to get in here on previous 3-2 Houston teams. What's up, man?
Hey, fellas, how we doing?
All right, you.
What up, man?
All right. So, you know, I'm sure you remember 94, the last time a Houston team came.
Yeah, Charlie brought it up, too. Definitely the Knicks series, but I can give you a lot of other ones, too, where it didn't go their way. I mean,
you guys are going to be fine. You're home. Verlander's on the mound. It's all good.
I detect the accent of a guy that's confident because of the fact that he might be pulling for the other team.
Oh, no. I'm the guy that called the other day.
I know, the Yankee fan. Yeah.
So, you know, figure it worked the other day. Maybe it'll work again today.
See, Scott? See, at least you show that you're superstitious. So, in your mind, this plays out in what, 6 or 7?
I don't know, man. Honestly, I don't know. I'm surprised they're up 3-2, to be honest with you. I didn't expect them to win this. So, I still don't, but... You know, I remember 04. Things happen, man.
Okay.
Well, Scott, you know, that's...
I'm sorry, but your call has timed out.
because it sucked.
Wow, Scott. Boy, I tell you, we got something happened there.
Bad connection, Scott. I'd tell you to call back, but I think that there might be more like that.
Gonna have to upgrade that phone, man. That was that's terrible that your Yankees call got hung up. That's weird. I don't know.
I wonder how that happened.
I don't know. That's a shame. But, yeah, I see you working trying to get the mojo back.
Yeah.
Good try, Scott. Nice.
And you know what's funny is I was going to mention it when Charlie was on with us, too, because we were talking about the mojo and momentum. And Verlander said in his press conference yesterday, if we go out and if he does his job, if they get the win, he thinks that momentum is squarely on the Astros' side going into a Game 7. And I can't go that far simply because of the pitching question marks. I think that obviously, like we say in football, it's a 3-point swing for the home team when you're betting a game in football. I don't feel it's the same way in baseball. I feel like the home field is a different feel. I don't know that it plays as big a part. And I would say that if you weigh home field versus them having the pitchers that they have ready to go on full rest, as opposed to what the Astros are going to try and put out there, I don't know that I'd even call it a wash. I would say that to me, that's advantage Yankees.
I don't want to say that though.
I got to be honest. I mean, that's just the way I see it. I mean,
here's the thing. Okay, so you and Charlie earlier were talking about Giles in the bullpen and what do you do? And I wanted to look something up, so I looked up his home and road split. Would it surprise you that Giles has a 0.84 ERA at home? Would it make you feel better
it
about
makes
bringing
me feel
him?
Better.
I mean, you probably aren't going to need him with Verlander. You know what I mean? Like,
hopefully not.
Like I said, if he goes 7 or 8, he's not coming out past that point. But knowing that he's got a 0.84 ERA on at home also kind of makes me feel that. But I don't like your thinking on the Yankees. I don't like that. Let's not do that. I mean, just to me,
I'm sorry. You know, I've said since day one. I just got to call it like I see it.
I know. You know, it's funny because we asked Blum, and we're obviously going to make a prediction on the games. You just don't know what this offense is going to do either. You really have no idea anymore.
What's your biggest like one factor as to why the offense has gone south? Because I'll tell you this, from mine, it's just I just chalk it up to inexperience. I just chalk it up to guys that haven't gotten their feet this wet in playoff competition before, and that's what I'm seeing out of Springer. That's what I'm seeing.
But they were there for Kansas City. They were up, and they blew it.
Well, and you know what I mean? The only guy that I don't give a pass to on that is Reddick, because Reddick was with the Dodgers last year in the playoffs. He's felt it before. But I just, like I said, the body language to me and these young kind of carefree kids seem to have gotten real tight with Bregman and George Springer, and that bothers me.
I think that if they wouldn't have had the year that they had, I think that that's had a lot to do with it. They lost, you know, one on the road, and then they thought, okay, we can bounce back, and then they lose again. And now they're pressing a little bit because they've scuffled and lost two in a row. And by that time, by game four, they know they're not hitting. And now everybody's pressing going into that game five.
And with a major market New York media pointing fingers at you, too. Doesn't help.
Yeah, and then they put four up and the bullpen collapses. And it's just now everyone's looking at each other going, man, we all suck right now. Because you put four up, but it was really one hit to put those three on the board.
Yeah, Yuli hit the big
double. It got thrown out. But, I mean, I just feel like this is a team, even though they were there with KC, it was a different kind of thing. Like, you were facing KC, and it was just young. Mm-hmm. It's New York. It's the mystique. It's Yankee Stadium.
I went back to that, too.
Yeah.
That Royals series was a series that I had already won for the Astros, and when it didn't happen and they collapsed in that eighth inning, that's another one of those Houston moments, man. Bothers me like crazy, too, because I've become a huge Astros fan since I've moved here. And so I want it to happen, but I just got to call it like I see it right now. I see them getting to 7, but I don't know if I see them.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, Game 7 worries me the most is the matchup. I've said it all along.
And I agree with you. Blummer, I don't do that often.
Blummer didn't agree with me on, you know, he was like, he thought starting Keuchel was the right thing, but.
We'll see. Justin, we see you too. We'll be back to you in just a minute. But for now, we're going to step away for a few minutes to get some sponsor business taken care of. And then we're going to be back with a whole lot more. It's The Usual Suspects at CSPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, here we go, stepping up the home plate.
Home?
Southside all-star like a mountain bay.
Who?
Yeah, Astros gunning for the top spot.
Top spot.
Me and all the mascot.
Let me drop top.
Boy, Ric Flair. Go ring.
Yeah.
Astros, that's my team.
Who's to be the king?
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects during the final hour of the big show till we head you off into your weekend and get you set up for the Blitz at 4 p.m.
Is this the Woosten song?
That's correct.
We used to be friends. You like this?
I'm reversing the curse.
No, this is cursing the curse. Does that reverse it if you do two curses?
Yeah,
you
hex a voodoo.
So you curse the curse, which reverses the curse.
And then you are redoing the voodoo.
Well, this sucks. Whatever.
This conversation sucks, too. The voodoo that you do and whatever you guys are doing, just work it out on your own time.
What? This is relevant because he's playing the song.
Justin wants to get in here to talk about the Astros. Justin, what's up?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What up, man?
I'm just driving home from work. Hey, I just wanted to touch on this to see what y'all thought. Everybody's talking about the experience that these young Astros players do not have in the postseason, but that just makes me think that Aaron Judge and Gary Sanchez, Didi Gregorius are just light years ahead of them when they aren't. What do y'all think about that? Experience-wise.
Appreciate the call, Justin. Look, it's a valid point that Sanchez and Judge don't have any kind of postseason
experience.
It's
a very valid point.
So then break it down for me further and tell me why they're not hitting, because I can't figure it out. Look, I mean, those guys weren't hitting either and all of a sudden broke out in the last two games in New York for the most part. Look, that gives you hope that it can happen here too. But, you know, we've ad nauseum covered the stats of how this offense has been number one in baseball all year and that they never really had huge dropouts and fall-offs. Yeah, they had that slump in August. But I wish we had the answer. I just need it to stop.
It's funny because isn't it amazing how one or two games can turn everything around? We were just talking about the fact that Judge was breaking records for strikeouts and plate appearances without getting a hit. And now he's hitting 313. And he went 1-for-3 in game five. And, you know, it's amazing how just two good games in a row can turn everything around. Now, he did get a hit and get in on the 16th in the 8-1 win. He got the home run. And then he followed that up with a two-hit game with a home run. And then he goes 1-for-3 again. But before that, he wasn't really doing anything. He was striking out at a record rate. It's amazing how quickly just one or two games can turn everything around. And take a guy that's a rookie that looked like he was choking in the playoffs to a guy that looks like he's the, MVP of the league.
Sanchez was hot garbage and got a meaningless hit in New York that kind of got him going. You know, that's what I was hoping for Springer. The bloop hit, I think it was in game four. He got a bloop single finally, and everybody, they started talking about it as, hey, this could be the start of something. I'm like, God, just have him the confidence. Have him get to first base and start thinking, all right, the baseball gods are looking out for me. That should have been caught. Instead, it drops. This is going to be the start of me getting back out of it. But he's the guy more than anybody else that looks like he's really pressing.
Yeah. Reddick.
I'm saying of the young guys, though.
Okay.
I'm saying between him and Bregman and Correa and those guys, he's really struggling mentally, I think, with this.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. I think so. I think he can, it's like Blummer said, you get a couple of bloops. And I really thought when he got that bloop hit,
that's what I'm saying,
in game five, that he was going to feel better. No.
Well, really, the other thing is, you look at his quotes after the games, starts with, hey, man, you guys don't understand this, but hitting is really tough. You're going to fail 70% of the time. 7 times out of 10, you're going to fail.
No, you're failing 90% of the time right now.
Right now you are, right? And then the other thing is, when they started getting into, I mean, I've never played in an environment like this before in my life. It's so loud. It's louder than college football. It's intimidating. It's this, it's that. Come on, bro. It's the playoffs, man. It's you can tune all of that out and just concentrate on what you got to do.
Yeah, but wouldn't it be funny if they put up 6, 7, 8 runs tonight and do the same thing tomorrow, put up six, seven runs, and it all comes from the top of the lineup.
It would be funny. It'd be outstanding.
All will be forgotten, and look at their averages. I mean, if Springer goes 2-for-4 two nights in a row, I think his average would jump. He's at 111 now. I just trying to do the math in my head. I think if he goes 2-for-4 tonight, it'll be up over almost to 230. He's at 111 right now, so it obviously can't get much worse. But a 2-for-4 night takes him from 111 to 230 in the playoffs, which is getting to respectability.
Right, right.
He does that again, he's going to be up over 250, 260. Suddenly, it doesn't look so bad, all in the span of two games. So it's just like Judge did. Everything can be turned around tonight and tomorrow.
Well, and the other thing is, like you said, postseason, everything's magnified. I mean, you can manage your ass off all year, and you look at the guys that have taken it in the shorts and literally now are taking it in the shorts, i.e. Dusty Baker not going to be back with the Nationals because he was being questioned when they faltered in the playoffs. But you look at Girardi and the fact that the Yankee fans were all over his ass a week ago? And yeah. Now all of a sudden he is the cat's meow back in New York again. And A.J. Hinch, because of the fact that he didn't use Peacock sooner or because he pulled McCullers too soon, suddenly a guy that's kept this loose group of young kids together for an entire season to put up the kind of numbers that they put up is being questioned, and people are all down on him. So the same way you can get down on a manager, you can get down on a player. And New York fans were really struggling with the fact that in the previous series against the Indians, Judge struck out 16 times. That Sanchez just wasn't hitting the baseball. But now in the stretch of three games at home in the middle of this series, when both of them found their bats a little bit, hey, they're back to being heroes.
That's what I mean. It could turn.
Let's
just
hope
like
you're
that.
Right, Barry. Let's hope you beat that drum a little bit tonight, and let's get them going. Because, man, I would like nothing more than to see this offense come alive, not having to lean so heavily on Justin Verlander.
Justin on Twitter called a shot. If they hit tonight and win, they'll win Game 7.
Okay.
The Astros.
I like it. I hope so.
We'll see. Casino J, shout out to him. He said, I'm headed over to the Mann Center to get snipped. Thoughts and prayers to my swimmers.
Wow.
Yeah. And then we got picks coming up at 3:45. Clarence texted the show.
Oh, did he?
I'll be listening real close to your picks there, Joel.
That's the first time you've listened close all year, Clarence. We appreciate that.
Demetrius said, hey, guys, don't forget with all the sports going on this weekend, F1 in Austin. Okay. I'm not going to do it.
On Fridays here. We're not F1 in anything. All right, we've got a full half hour still to go in the show, so don't go anywhere. As Barry has mentioned, we still have our picks to come up in the about 3:45-ish, so we'll get to those. We've still got plenty more on a heavy agenda, and if there's something on your mind, feel free to give us a call like so many of you have done already today. HR&P listener line is open right now, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. All you can text that number, you can call that number, you can hit us on Twitter, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back for the final half hour of The Usual Suspects right here on ESPN 97.5 as we continue to roll on. And we've told you, we've got a busy schedule. We've had one all day. We had Jeff Blum, if you missed him, with some really, really good stuff getting into and leading into Game 6 tonight between your Astros and the Yankees. So if you missed that, catch up with it on the podcast, Podcast Arena. We'll get you there, or ESPN975.com. What else you got, Barry? We've got Sleep app right now.
Yeah, we're going
to
do the Sleep Talk app. We missed it on Wednesday, so we've got that. And I thought we were running out, but I started listening to it. There's a lot more, so this might carry on for a couple more weeks, which I think the peeps, as much as it gets asked, are we doing it again, I think they'll continue to enjoy that. So, yeah, we've got Sleep Talk app. We'll have one more Andy Huggins. We'll do our picks at 3:45. So, yeah, we still got a bunch of stuff to get to.
No doubt about it.
Let's get this call out of the way and then do the
call
sleep talk.
Callers. Yeah. Here they come.
Oh, my gosh.
Look out. My board says let's. Let's wants to talk Astros.
What's going on, guys?
What up, man? Is that right? Let's? Off,
love the show. I just wanted to get y'all's opinion on why is it do you think A.J. Hinch hasn't given any consideration to Derek Fisher? I know he's rookie and everything, but I mean, Marwin hasn't been hitting the ball, and we saw what he did out in the outfield. And I feel like he could give us more range in the outfield, as well as possibly maybe spark something in the hit in the lineup, as well as be a better base runner. And I'll hang up and kind of get y'all guys' opinion on it.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks for the call.
Let's. You didn't add Fisher to this lineup to plug him in when you needed a spark. You added him for defensive replacements late in the game and to be a pinch runner. I mean, that's what he's here for. I think he hit like 210 or 212 for the year. He's not a bat that's going to spark this lineup. The same thing with Centeno. I know people are saying, well, he hit a little bit. Yeah, but those are guys that you can't count on that have never done it. I mean, you've got to ride with the guys that you had in your lineup every day. If Centeno and Fisher were that good, they would have been in the starting lineups a lot earlier on this team.
Plus,
you can't just start plugging in bench players here and there just as a panic move.
Okay, but here's the other thing, too. On top of all that you said, which I agree with, but here's the other thing. The experiment that you tried in that regard with Cameron Maben didn't go so well either.
I didn't like that.
So I don't think you try it again.
No. I mean, people keep knocking Marwin Gonzalez. You forget he's got two outfield assists, right, in the playoffs already. He made some plays these past couple of games in Yankee Stadium where he was getting after it. Is he a great left fielder? Absolutely not.
No, he's got a great arm.
But the fact that he's got a great arm, he could throw some guys out, and he's a switch hitter, so when they start trying to play lefty-righty matchups late in the game, at least you have that guy in your lineup to disrupt it.
That's what it all comes down to. You got to have that bat in your lineup because he's been a big part of whatever they've done all year offensively.
Yep.
All right, real quick, Leighton wants to get in here on Yankees pitching. Leighton, what's up?
Hey, what's happening, guys? I just had a question, I guess, for y'all. Was everybody keeps on trying to dissect what's going on with the Astros hitters and everything, but has anybody talked about, like, the old saying, good pitching beats good hitting? What I've noticed, the Yankees pitchers are pounding the zone. They're staying ahead of the count. And they're keeping the Astros hitters off balance. I think the pitching is what's making them have their slump right now.
Well, it's a good point. Barry's beating it like a dead horse. I mean, he said all along, good pitching beats good offense and good hitting for the entire year, playoffs. He said that good pitching is the key to any team's success in the postseason or regular season.
It's definitely a chicken or egg thing, though, right? Is it just bad hitting? Is it guys that are in a slump and gone cold, or is it really good pitching? The Yankees have the second lowest ERA in this 2007 postseason at 2.45, just behind the Dodgers at 2.28. It's probably both. It's hard to tell which is causing what.
Yeah, and even if that would be the case, then it narrows it down to what we've said all along, which is then it's the bullpen, because the starters, for the most part, for the Astros have held their own. When you look at what Keuchel and Verlander have done, and then you look at McCullers' start, which was fantastic, that's when you can just narrow it down and go, sure, if you're going to go with that school of thought, then it really comes down to the fact your bullpen has completely let you down while the Yankees' bullpen has been stellar.
Yeah, you had a 4-0 lead and lost it. And that's the bullpen letting you down. But they got shut out. They've two runs or four runs at home. So, yeah, it's not it's chicken or the egg. I mean, it really is. It's hard to tell which is which here. Okay, let's do the Sleep Talk app. Sleep
Lighten Talk the mood, Barry.
App thing a little bit. If you don't know, my sister-in-law Nancy turned me onto this app a month ago, I think. We started it late September. And it's basically people just set this app up while they're asleep, and it records them. And if they start making noise, then it will record what they're doing. So obviously there's a lot of gross stuff where people are burping and farting all night, and those get recorded. And some of them are pretty funny, but there's also some talking going on. So we've been playing those for you, and we're going to keep that going. So the first one that starts off, I believe, is a funny snore. Is that how you snore, Joel? Is that you?
No, it's how I use a bidet. I mean, come on. Who snores like that?
Could you imagine sleeping next to someone doing that all night?
I know Lisa would just be beating me over the head with a pillow or something.
You know what it sounds like? It sounds like one of those things that you wind up and blow like at a party where it goes, wee! That's what it sounds like almost. All right, so the next one is about waffles.
Get the away from my waffles.
What?
Yeah, you never had someone tell you that in the middle of the night, Joel?
No.
They've never told you to get away from their waffles?
What color were the waffles, Barry?
They weren't blue. All right, here's a fart. This is just some random fart at night.
No, I got a different order.
Okay, what you got?
I had to go to the bathroom.
Oh.
Oh, you, never mind. You gave it a different title. This is a fart.
Okay. It's getting there.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Why are you getting in the bathroom?
That's right.
Just like, wait. Why couldn't you go to the bathroom? He's like, I'm trying. No, you didn't. You laid there. You just rolled over.
Like you hot pocketed her.
Yeah. I love that. I love how you'll say anything while you're asleep. Why didn't you go to the bathroom? I tried. I really did. All right. This next one is I'll be damned.
Well, I'll be damned if you didn't try. At least with the Circle of Association of Druggists, respect and propaganda of all the drug of these women and the young men that they're preventing and so bollocks.
I tell you, these mumble what? These mumble rappers, I just don't, I can't.
What the hell was that?
That was, that's what happens.
Other
when
than
you let,
I tried.
When you let the British start mumble rapping, that's what you get. You man. Get that. All right, this next one sounds like it was recorded at my house. What the cat
the
up.
The cat?
You know it's a loud fart when you woke the cat up. But
dude,
I, think,
I do know one thing.
Huh?
For as long as we've been doing these,
uh-huh.
Any fart noise is going to make you great. Laugh uncontrollably.
This one was recorded at your house.
Damn dogs.
Yes! Yes! There's several different dogs there. How
love
good
it.
Is that? You fart and wake the dogs up.
Built-in blame game.
Do you now? Do you? Has this happened at your house where you've woken up the dogs?
No. What did she say?
The dog had to fart. She blamed the dogs.
That's what's happened at my house.
You blame the dogs?
No, Lisa blames them. And then I kind of chuckle.
Oh, like why are the dogs
me.
Up?
Because I can't let the dog take the blame for me. But a lot of times she'll be like, Jack, oh. And normally I'll be like, looking like, yeah, Jack, what'd you do? And then sometimes I'll be like, nah, that one, Jack.
Yeah, I unfortunately don't get to blame the cats. The cats aren't known for being farters, so I'm pretty much on my own. I'm on an island. I'm on Fart Island at my house. I get the blame for everyone's farts.
Is tattoo
much.
On your island?
Sometimes. Now I will say this, no, but sometimes like the 16-year-old female cat will fart, but it's like right away. My wife's like, "Did you fart?" I'm like, "No, it was the cat." I get blamed as opposed to the other way around. If anyone else in the house farts, I'm immediately on the hook for it. It's not fair.
Oh, dude. Our pit bull mix.
Bad?
Not only is it bad, no scruples, no conscience.
Doesn't
laying
care.
On the couch,
in your
ass
face.
Facing me while I'm watching a game.
Right there.
Just blows the
take
trumpet
this.
Right at me and never
mouth
even loses
open.
A wink of sleep.
Yeah, mouth
just,
open and everything.
Just take this and like it.
Yeah, that's how the cats are.
Ugh.
Yeah, they get after it. All right. Well, that was the Sleep Talk app. We'll have more. Next week, we're featuring one guy. And he led off this whole thing. I don't know if you remember the one about I hate that giraffe. But
yeah.
I started noticing this guy had several of them. So next week is going to be dedicated to that guy.
And the week after that, you're going to have him on the show, right?
No.
Okay.
No. He's had his glory.
All right. We got one segment to go in the big show. We're going to get our picks out of the way next as we get ready for the big weekend. And then turn it over to the Blitz, Fred, AJ, and Jong at 4 p.m. as they lead you into the weekend. Don't go anywhere. One more segment left. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
So I am 65 years old. It's tough getting older. Went into an antique store, they wouldn't let me leave. I was feeling young again the other day. I don't know why, probably an undiagnosed stroke, but I thought I'd play a joke on a buddy of mine. I thought I'd ring his doorbell and run. I forgot to run. Which would have been embarrassing, except I also forgot to ring the doorbell. That's 45 minutes I'll never get back. I can't tell you at my age how upsetting it is to watch a clock tick down like that.
Pretty cool. I think it's pretty cool. The people don't realize the fraternity that is you guys that are comedians that are out on the road, because they don't realize it's not all five-star hotels and planes. And you guys are, you know, Andy Huggins, who we just played again, who is our featured comic this week on the FAF Friday. The fact that you guys are carpooling to places across the Southwest.
And we've shared rooms. It's, it's not all glamour on the road all the time. That is for sure.
But you build some pretty solid relationships out of this.
Yeah, you do, man. You get to meet some cool people. So you can get his album on iTunes and Google Play. It's called Inspired by True Events. But if you just go to iTunes or Google Play and just search for Andy Huggins, you'll find it. He's on YouTube. Go catch a show, though. That's the whole point of doing this, as we talked about, is to get some local flavor from the Houston comedy scene, exposure, and let you guys figure out who's out there and who you might like and want to go check out.
The other thing is, you've given his history in the past, too, but people don't realize he's a legend.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he moved from West Virginia to L.A., used to hang out with David Letterman in the belly room of the Comedy Store and talk baseball with that dude for hours. In fact, there's a mutual friend that worked with Letterman who would say to this day that Letterman's always asking, how's Andy? What's Huggins up to? You don't make friends like that if you're not a good comic. I mean, he came back when he was there. Bill Hicks and Ron Schock and even Sam Kinison to a certain degree said, hey, man, we're moving back to Houston. You should come with us. That's how highly they thought of Andy. And they came back as the Texas Outlaw Comics. His name's on the Comedy Store. I mean, the list goes on. He's wrote for the Oscars, Jay Leno.
And he's a big Astros fan, so we love him for that.
Yeah. So, check him out. Check out his album's hilarious. Over 20-something years in comedy before he drops his first album. I know guys that cut an album in 6 months. It's like, you're not ready. Andy waited 20-plus years to drop his first album. So go check it out. Yep. Y'all want to do some picks?
Yeah, let's do some picks. We get them going. Tyler will pick them, but they won't count four against Nick's.
Nope. These will be Tyler's picks, and we'll track those just in case. So right now in college, you, my friend, are 16-4.
That ain't bad.
Whooping that ass.
That ain't bad.
Nick and I are both 12-8.
Still not bad.
Well.
Still more dubs than L's.
That's true.
Okay. So what do you got? Four games in college, five in pro?
Yep. We're going to do four in college, five in pro. So the college side first, Michigan versus Penn State. The line is Penn State minus 12.5.
But we're not doing it with the spread.
We're not doing it with the spread, but I'm just giving you an idea of who's the favorite.
Yeah. It's Michigan's Penn State got quarterback at home. Problems. I'll take Penn State.
I'm with you, man. I think Penn State at home, tough to beat as is. Yeah. But, I'm with you. I'm going to go Penn State as well. Tyler?
Penn State versus who?
Michigan. Penn State's 12.5-point favorite.
Thanks for keeping an eye on everything, Tyler. Appreciate it.
Michigan. Why not?
You're going Michigan, huh?
Tyler's picks don't count.
Oh, yeah. All right. I like that. I'm already
I will say this, though. I would love, love, love to see Michigan win that game.
I know you would.
Yeah, because then Wisconsin gets Michigan later in the year. They win that one, and then the table is set. But I've already told you, Wisconsin's going to do an A&M for you this year, and they're going to choke it off.
USC takes a trip to Notre Dame. As 3.5-point favorite for Notre Dame.
I'm telling you right now, SC has been so up and down and disappointing, but I just feel like they're going to break out. I'll take SC because they're more balanced.
All right, I'm going Notre Dame in this one. I think SC has had some moments where they've been great, but they've also looked bad
at
times.
Got that right.
Who you got, Tyler? Notre Dame or USC? USC? All right. Oklahoma State at the University of Texas. Oklahoma State, a 7-point favorite.
I'll take the Cowboys.
Yeah, I thought UT bounced back well. Oklahoma, I shouldn't say bounced back, but Oklahoma bounced back well against UT. I thought that game would have been more of an ass-whooping than it was.
UT hung
in there. Mm-hmm. But I'm still going to go Oak State. I think that they are a better team than their record even says.
I agree. Tyler?
UT.
All right.
Wow. Okay.
Syracuse at Miami. There just wasn't a lot to pick from after this. Syracuse had the big win last week. Miami's a 14.5-point favorite. I'm going Miami in this. I think
I'm
that's
going
a no
with the
brainer.
Hurricanes as well. I think Syracuse blew it all.
Yeah.
Beating Clemson.
You know, that's crazy. I was looking at the odds, the biggest odds in college for the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
It surprised me a little bit, but Alabama was favored by like 33 over Tennessee.
Oh, that's easy, though.
And then it went up to 36.5.
I think it'll keep going up.
That's crazy, though. That's a lot. All right, let's switch to the NFL slate of games.
Okay.
Texans on a bye week, so no Texans
I'll take
there.
The Texans. Oh.
All right, so let's start with the one that Clarence couldn't wait for.
Yeah.
New Orleans on the road at Green Bay. New Orleans is a 3.5-point favorite. Who you got, Joel?
Got Saints.
You're going Saints?
Yeah.
I'm going Saints as well, man. Yeah. Unfortunately. Saints. You're going Saints?
Yep.
Okay. Arizona at the Los Angeles Rams. Well, I guess it might be a home game for them. Rams favored by 2.5 at home.
Yeah. Man.
Mm-hmm. Not an easy one to pick.
No, because AP looked really good last week, and that gives them balance. I'm going to take Arizona.
Okay. I like Wade Smith. I like that defense. I think they can bottle that up, especially at home. I'll take the Rams. Who you got, Tyler?
Rams.
Rams at home? My man. Finally a good pick.
Wade Smith or Wade Phillips?
I mean, Wade Phillips. What did I say? Wade Smith?
Yeah, Wade Smith. He's a good offensive lineman.
Yeah, that's my bad. That's my bad. You know who the hell I meant. Jacksonville versus Indy. Jacksonville, a 3.5-point favorite.
Jaguars.
Jags?
Yep.
Jacksonville.
Jags. All right. That's unanimous for us then. Tampa Bay on the road against Buffalo. Buffalo, a 3-point favorite. Surprised me a little bit that they...
Famous Jameis is playing.
Yeah.
I'm going to take... Boy, Tampa's looked really bad. But I'm going to take Tampa Bay.
Are you really?
Yep.
All right. That surprises me, even though that's one of my teams this year. But I'm going to take Buffalo at home. They're playing well. Tyrod Taylor is looking good.
Bills.
Bills as well. All right. Last one. Atlanta on the road against New England. New England, a 3.5-point favorite. Who you got?
Oof.
This is it's not
really
as cut and dry.
Good game, but at New England, I'm going to take the Patriots.
Because it's not turf?
Yep. You know what I've said all along?
I know. You said Atlanta on turf is unbeatable, it looks like. But
is that like a... New England's like a... Isn't that a field turf?
Yeah. No, I think it's grass.
Well, I'm going to take New England at home.
I'm going to go ahead and pick Atlanta for the upset on the road. What you got?
Patriots.
Okay. There it is.
There you go.
All right, guys, we'll check you out next week. Thanks for tuning in. Usual Suspects up next is the Blitz. But first, I want to tell you that we all know that Houston was hit hard by Hurricane Harvey, and the devastating effects from that storm still linger in our city and surrounding areas. And the folks at Gulf State Home Buyers want you to know that they're there for you, and their services are available to you should you need them. When you're dealing with Gulf State Home Buyers, you're dealing with a company that's won the Distinction Award from the Better Business Bureau both last year in 2016 and this year in 2017. What does that mean? It means you're working with a great company that you can trust and that has your best interest at heart. So here's the deal. You're sitting there thinking, okay, I got this house that flooded. Do I fix it up or do I sell it? And if to fix it up, it's going to cost me X amount. But you don't know what you can get for it on the market, and that's why you call Gulf State Home Buyers. 281-717-6100. Let them help you. They're going to give you a free, no obligation, cash offer evaluation of your homes. Now you take that offer, you look at how much it's going to cost to fix it up, and you can make an educated decision on do you fix it up or do you move out? Because if you fix it up, you might be in that same situation of flooding again. You're not sure. At least you know what you can get for it on the market from Gulf State Home Buyers. 281-717-6100. Let their staff of attorneys, title companies, and professional people work with you. They're going to do the best they can for you to get you the cash offer evaluation that you need to make that decision. 281-717-6100 or GulfStateHomeBuyers.com on the internet. The folks at Gulf State Home Buyers, they're there for you, and together we will keep Houston strong.
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com.